All right. Finally tracked down this young man who's been running around the country, ignoring his friends here, having fun, and doing a lot of research and exploration, as he always does. He is truly a Renaissance man and has been a friend of mine for many years, and yours ever since Fukushima. And we cover that, I think, honestly, better than anyone on the planet. His knowledge and expertise are just stunning. And he's here in the U.S. now and rattling around, looking into things, and has a lot of stories to tell. Yoichi Shimatsu. Hello, Yosh. Welcome back.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's been a while. I've been chasing down a lot of interesting changes. You know, I've been out of the central part of the country, the core United States, for well more than 30 years. So I've have a lot of catching up to do with what I see are a decline of the American culture, of its values, and the near-death experience coming up of American democracy. So I am astonished that the United States is in such deep trouble, far beyond what I imagined when I was over in Japan, China, Korea, Thailand, or Vietnam. I mean, this is like beyond belief to me how far things have decayed and are being demolished. And right now, as you know, by the way, where I've been most recently, as you know from the article that I wrote on the Vatican Observatory, the sabotage of the Arecibo SETI program, the antenna there, and the Lucifer telescope on Mount Graham in southern Arizona. So you can surmise from this activity that I've been sort of recently working the southern Arizona and New Mexico region, and the right close to the border of Mexico. In fact, I did go down to the border a couple of times by El Paso, several times, Texas, and nearby that in New Mexico, down by Columbus, where Pancho Villa invaded the United States. And to my great alarm this last week, not very long ago, just last week, I think I've seen and heard the opening shots of World War III and the very possible invasion and destruction of the United States and the end of its democracy due to very determined foreign enemies, powerful ones, and a treasonous regime, the Biden-Harris traitors. That's all I can say, who have invited the foreign countries to occupy this United States and turn it into another banana republic dictatorship. And I'm not joking. There's no exaggeration. I am stunned after coming back to Asia at how far things have degenerated and how the election was stolen. And now the first opening shots, I believe, of World War III have just occurred in southern New Mexico. And we can go over that step by step.
It must be. You grew up here. You went to college here. You worked. You know America from the ground up. And to come back here and see the, I wouldn't even call it decay. It's a disassembly of the baseline American cultural psyche. It's been taken apart. Starting with, of course, morality and restraint and constraint, and above all, personal responsibility. Yeah. We're all victims here now. It's tragic, truly.
Yeah, as a kid, you know, of course, I was born in Japan. I'm bi-national. You know, my mother was Japanese, and my father was a Japanese-American. And so, but much of my time in my youth was in the Southern California, Los Angeles, and down to the very far south of India, Coachella, that really close to the Mexican border, pure, pristine deserts. So I grew up in the cowboy, you know, Western movie culture, the singing cowboys, riding horses. Yeah. And all that, you know, and so I looked at myself as a little cowboy, and I appreciated those values of independence, rugged individualism, being tough, not complaining about horrible weather, sandstorms, snakes and things like that, toughing it out. You know, this was part of the American character, learning how to live on that frontier on your own and not crying for welfare or for somebody to pull you out, but doing things on your own. In fact, you're there to rescue other people, not the other way around. That's what I grew up with, and I've been like that ever since, actually, you know, riding horses in the Himalayas and things like that, chasing down bad guys. And so, you know, I remain just like that. So, okay, so what happened? What happened? Okay, 2 weeks ago, Joe Biden gave his open border speech, you know, his pro-immigration speech, in which he called for amnesty and basically the first steps toward citizenship rights, voting rights for more than 5 million illegal aliens.
He's already turning them loose.
Without proper papers, without a passport, without fingerprints, without ID, which an American citizen in every other part of the world has to show. I've got to show my passport to, if I go to Europe, to anywhere in Asia, Africa, Latin America, these people just breeze right in here. And for whatever reason, because you wonder, why do they come here? Mexico is so much cheaper to live, right? It's their culture. It's their language. Why do they come up here? What's their purpose? Why is there the largest structure in many small towns across America I've been driving through? The nicest building is a Mexican restaurant. Who's financing all that? Who's paying those salaries? There's not that many customers. What the heck is going on?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I know the border area very, like, you know, India is like, essentially, you know, very grew up in that Mexican culture. So, you know, nothing gets past me on that.
Sure.
You know, spoke Spanish pretty well and still do a bit. Yeah. You know? So what happened a week after Biden's speech in southern New Mexico, a state police officer, state trooper, was shot dead by a cartel member. Department of Homeland Security investigations had to shoot dead another one. The guy who shot the cop, he also was killed. Apparently, wherever the vehicles were stolen from also may have died. Let me go into this. This is a very, very momentous event, okay, and how I found out about it and began to piece things together, as I usually do. As you know, I'm a reporter on the ground. So I was in on the weekend in Lordsburg, which is on the Arizona-New Mexico border. It's in New Mexico, looking at an old ghost town, you know, because I'm interested in the Wild West, and I'm doing some cultural studies of all that as an extension of the Civil War, basically. Then I go to a rest area after I'm done, and I notice there's a security guy there, which I've never seen before, and the parking lot's empty. There's usually dozens of cars and trucks. So then I breeze down to the big truck stop there. Hardly any trucks there. Empty. I said, what's good? And meanwhile, there's hundreds and thousands of trucks going by on Highway 10 from California ports to, you know, eastward.
Heading
and nothing
east.
Going the other way. The Chinese, Biden has given, obviously, the Chinese the green light to flood America with, you know, products tariff-free, I'm sure. Otherwise, why would they be sending this thing in? So there's a dirty deal in the works. You know, he's going around the commerce rules and all that. This man is really a criminal, Biden. You got to understand. He's mafia, criminal, that CIA, deep state. He was in China in his 20s, and as a freshman congressman, he was in China, working with the Red Guards, okay? You know, the
understand
crazy guys, you know.
This, please, everyone, hear this clearly. You're getting the best possible analysis
Go. Biden is the Manchurian candidate. Get that straight, folks. Okay? He cut his teeth in China as a Jesuit little recruit for the CIA, just like Obama was sent to Pakistan to be a little Islamist by the CIA. Okay?
And don't forget, you mentioned Obama, Yoshi. Don't forget, everyone. For one second, that Obama is very quietly behind the scenes wielding enormous power right now.
Of course.
Huge.
Of course, Wakanda. Anyway, so I figured, what the heck is going on here on the border? I missed out on this whole weekend. So I drive eastward toward Deming, which is in the middle of the state, but real close to the border. And then I noticed Walmart parking lot there's like one fourth the cars are normally there. I said, what's going on? Then I was driving there. I see all the RV parks, you know, all the snowbirds, all the people in RVs come down there to the border, you know, on winter. They're all emptied out. I said, what happened here? Okay. And I'm totally out of the loop. I've been in a ghost town with a ghost. Okay. So I go to a truck stop and it's virtually empty. So I don't want to just drive in there, you know. So I sit, I park in my vehicle on the edge of it because I need to clean up my stuff after I've been traveling and all that, get dusted out and all. And then as I'm doing this, a spotlight shines on my car, and it's the city police there, the Deming police. And a nice officer's there. I come out and I rush out and talk with him. He says, are you alone or what? Yeah, I said, yeah. No, he says, you better park in the truck stop in a nicely lit area where the service staff can see you, where a lot of truckers can see you. I said, what's going on? He says, I thought this was safe here. You know, I've seen Border Patrol coming in. I've been down to the border. It's been peaceful. You don't see a lot of illegals on the streets anymore. You used to see thousands of them. Now you don't see them. You know, this part of the country feels safe for the first time in decades. And he says, that's ended. The cartel is starting to ship in drugs big time. And I said, what? How can that be? I'm thinking the border's been shut. There's a wall, the fence, Border Patrol along the whole border there. Hardly any Mexicans coming through. Then I said, oh, yeah. I remember when I was coming from Lordsburg, there was this periscope-like device in these brown trucks. Guys look like they're in some sort of brown uniforms there, peering at the skies to the south. And I said, could they be flying in? The cop nodded. I said, you know, it's really weird. There's a dirigible up there that everyone knows about, can see for hundreds of miles with radar. You know, nothing can get past that. And then it dawns on me, they're flying in stealth drones. Stealth drones are coming in. You got that?
Amazing.
The dirigible will pick up regular planes made out of metal, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Metal propellers
mm-hmm.
and all that stuff, jet engines. The what's coming in, the drugs are being, and I said, are they being dropped? Yeah. He said, and he nods. You know, he doesn't want to talk to me too much about the details. I appreciate, you know, your honesty with me. I won't push any harder because I don't want to mess up your investigation. And so I follow his advice. And then the next day I decide, damn, everyone else has left here for a reason. And I go to another truck stop, and I just happen to meet a retired cop there. And I tell him, you know, what I just heard from police. He says, well, they're worried about you because the cartel dealers, the gunmen, they want your vehicle with your plates, okay, with your license plates, and they want your ID. And there's a lot of space out there in the desert to dig holes to put your body in. And that way they can take your vehicle, pose as you, and drive to Chicago, St. Louis, Minneapolis, wherever they want to go.
Sure.
I said, oh, my God. Okay, now I understand. You know, I'm like an obvious target. You know, everyone else fled because they would love to pack an RV or something with all their drugs, okay? And these are, and I said, what kind of drugs? He says, heroin and synthetic opioids, very powerful ones now, which will kill people. Oh, my God. So I said, you mean these aren't just recreational drugs? No, he said, no, these are killer drugs they're bringing in. And I says, oh, is this the stuff that's made in China? He says, all of it.
Huh.
So the Chinese?
God.
And then,
yeah.
Oh, the drones. And I figured, oh, yeah. Well, how are the Chinese operating in Mexico without the Mexican government's approval? These are pretty good-sized drones, you know, move a ton of dope over the border. You know, it's 50 miles into New Mexico to get to Highway 10.
Uh-huh.
So they've got to do 100-and-some-mile turnaround, 120, 150-mile turnaround. And I'm thinking, how do you get these big drones into Mexico without the Mexican government's approval? How do you take off, you know, without being spotted? How do you handle Spanish? And then I was thinking, oh, it's the Venezuelans, of course. Nicolas Maduro Jr. He goes to school in Beijing. He was the one who bought the drones to do the fake assassination attempt against his father, the president of Venezuela, in order to frame the opposition. Do you see what I'm saying?
Chinese are into Venezuela.
They're training the Venezuelan military in China, yeah. Okay, with all the technology, the Spanish-speaking guys, and then it dawns on me. This is exactly what the Japanese imperial government did in the 1930s and 40s. Their original plan was to invade the United States from the southern border in an alliance with Latin America, okay? With all these dictatorships and unite against this one big democracy. And that was blown by none other than Amelia Earhart when she flew over the southern Pacific and got the photos on a spy mission. She was on a spy mission of the Japanese naval airfields and naval bases in the South Pacific that were heading to, that were moving, you know, building outward toward Latin America for this plan. So the Chinese are following the exact same, you know, blueprint as the Imperial Japanese Navy and Air Force did before World War II. So this is Nate. Wow. Then I'm thinking, oh my God, you know, this ain't just about drugs coming over the border. Guess what? Just if you flew that drone, a small drone, just one way, and you put a nuclear bomb or a directed energy weapon on it, or you know, a neutron bomb or something, that's White Sands missile testing ground.
Yeah.
If you had a larger drone with a larger range, you know, 200, 300 miles, you would hit the Sandia Labs. That's America's number one electromagnetic warfare center, research center. Go a little further, it's Los Alamos, our nuclear center. Do that, and you've got a nuclear cloud over the whole southern central part of the USA, and the prevailing winds will blow it all into the Permian Basin, which I had just driven through. The Permian Basin is Texas's gigantic oil, gas, deposits are there. It's a major oil producing and gas energy producing area. And also, most of America's solar energy plants and also most of energy's wind power plants are all in the Permian Basin. We will have no energy. You know, the price of gas would be $100 a gallon if they took that area out. So do you understand what's happening? World War III. What happened is what got this whole darn thing rolling was this state trooper, Darian Gerald. He lived in Lewisburg, 29 years old, has three kids, another one's coming. He was cooperating with Department of DHI, it's called, Department of Homeland Security Intelligence, on this big offensive to push drugs in by the cartels as a sort of the opening wave, the spearhead of the invasion of the United States.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
He catches up with, on the night that I left, on Wednesday night, DH intelligence, they're tracing these guys from the pickup point, and there's a gunfight, and they kill one of the guys. This guy leaves the next day with another cargo. They had divided the cargo. It was going down Highway 10 eastward toward Las Cruces. Darian Gerald, he was chasing him, a high-speed chase. They get to a gas station, which I often use an Exxon station, a place called Akela. It's like a tourist trap. And he's shot to death. The cop is shot to death. And the assailant, Omar Felix Cueva, total Mexican guy, he zooms toward Las Cruces, the city to the east, which is just north of El Paso. And El Paso, you know, is across the border from Juarez. So this is all the Juarez mafia. They're the big importers for all the other major drug producers into the United States. Very thuggish, really ruthless, thuggish, macho gunmen, okay?
Yeah, got it.
So,
yeah.
So this guy, Cueva, he's speeding along, okay, in a big truck.
Mm-hmm.
And then
the
Las Cruces police, they put spikes along the highway, can't direct the traffic off. Cueva goes right through there, tires are blown, he keeps driving. Finally, you know, his car sputters, spins to the side of the road. And this is on video online on Instagram. Pulls out his gun. Cops pull right behind him. He walks right up to their windshield and starts firing at them. your windshield. Doesn't try to run or anything like that. You know, this is what the cartel hitmen are like. They're really macho, crazy dudes. You know, they're like, you know, Terminators, okay? Cops open fire from several directions, and he's killed, okay? So this had the police not been so on top of this thing, you know, these poisons, they're not drugs. They're here to kill people. You know, these drugs are poisons. They're here to kill people. Are pouring in. I'm sure in Southern California, they're just being flown in, and the Democrat Party politicians are giving them a green light to ship it out through Vegas and all that. So, you know, the Democrats control, wherever you have the Democrats control, you hit these murderers, drug gangsters have a free hand, and what they're pushing now is very, very powerful. So this is the second wave after coronavirus. You get it, folks? Kill the older people with coronavirus and kill the young people with these drugs and kill the rest of the older people in pain.
Oh, hell, don't forget the vaccine. Vaccines are the primary
genocide
weapon.
Genocide. This is genocide.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right, hold on just a minute. Yoshi and I will be right back. These are very important observations for all of us to understand how bad it's gotten. I'm surprised that there are any police or Border Patrol people left down there. It's that dangerous now. No joke. I'll be right back. Okay, welcome back. Talking with Yoichi Shimatsu, who is taking a look around at the wreckage of the country of his birth. This is just terrible. It's not only the wreckage, it's actually the annihilation of an entire culture with a strong sense of nationalism, pride, and achievement. It's just been taken down year by year since about the 60s. Accelerating, and now look, just since Biden has taken over, the Biden regime has taken over. Oh, excuse me again, the Obama rice machine has taken over. This is terrible, simply terrible. And I don't have a plan to try to wrest control of it. Do you?
Yeah, I do. It's called Remember the Alamo. Okay, this time it won't fall. Yeah.
There you go.
Davy Crockett, Jim Bowie, and Travis, you know, men who are not afraid to stand up against ruthless dictatorships, okay? You know, men who are not afraid to go and confront, you know, a standing army, a European-style army that's coming over with advanced weapons. And these guys got what? You got a Bowie knife and, and a muzzle-loading rifle? Well, at the end of the day, the Texas Republic won. Santa Anna was dead, okay, wounded at the Battle of Jacinto and soon died thereafter. And the Texas Republic in, a decade or so became part of the United States. It was, you know, part of what, you know, New Mexico, up to Wyoming, even, you know, Colorado and all. The Texas Republic was huge. So you gotta stick by
and
your
now
guns
what's happening,
and your principles.
What's happening?
Yes?
What's happening now? Texas is talking about getting the hell out.
Well, the Texans are Texans. They're tough. They fought, you know, for their freedom, and they knew the price.
Yeah.
You know, the great heroes died. You know, hundreds of people were slaughtered by these dictators. You know, they survived it, and they fought back, and they won the Battle of Jacinto. They were vastly outnumbered. And they came storming back and caught Santa Anna and his army napping early in the morning and defeated them and wounded Santa Anna mortally. And so they were able to win the freedom of that vast territory, which is our energy capital. In many ways, the center of our values of riding horses, you know, rope and riding. And just understand, this is not against Hispanic people. A fellow named Seguin was a leader. I mean, the Texanos, they were Mexican, the Mexicans of the North who felt totally betrayed. They were going to lose all of their ranches to the cronies of Santa Anna, European cronies of Santa Anna. They were right there with the fellows from Kentucky and Tennessee, you know, side by side. And the truth is, not only Mexican Americans born here, but many of the people who work in the pecan orchards here, who work in the chili farms, you know, those hardworking Mexican guys, they hate the cartel. You know, they're the ones who are most abused. It's their children who are, you know, threatened with being kidnapped and drafted into the cartel, and their vehicles stolen, their IDs stolen. So they have no love of what's going on down in Mexico. If you'd ask them about Mexico, of course they like their culture and all, but you ask them about the cartels and the situation with Mexican government, they just shudder. They don't want to go back. You can't blame them. Yeah.
No. You can't blame them.
The rights, the freedom, and a lot of them don't have voting rights. They don't care. They have more freedom here. Okay. Now the ones who want voting rights, for kids fresh off the boats, shipped in without their parents. What parents in their right mind, what responsible parent would send your kid over that desert and in the border?
No, of course.
And how do the kids survive that? You know?
They call them unaccompanied, for God's sake.
Actually, that is total nonsense. Actually, the whole thing is orchestrated. Because I go out into the desert, you know, and I search around. And I've met people ride horses. Yeah, and I found stockpiled these encampments for the illegals. Oh, yeah, oh, these poor illegals have nothing to eat. You see piles of beer bottles and beer cans there. Yeah, they're being driven in. You know, they're coming up. You know,
they're not illegals. They're invaders. Okay.
It's an invasion that no other country in the world would tolerate. You know, especially Mexico would not tolerate
Mexico.
Yeah, against the Guatemalans and the Salvadorans who want to cross over. In fact, that caravan, you know, Biden's speech was timed with that George Soros-sponsored Guatemalan caravan. But the Mexican government, the states in the south, this is not the central government, but the Mexican states in the south, we don't want these people here coming over here and committing crimes and robbing us on their way up to Mexico. So they kept them out, you know, so... You gotta understand, the Mexican people are not our enemy. You know, they're on our side. They don't like their government. They don't like George Soros. You know, they don't like the Chinese invasion. They certainly don't want the Venezuelan dictators, you know, military dictators on their soil. And they're not happy with the Jesuits of Biden and the Pope, you know, Pope Francis, which I wrote about, who happens to be Jewish, by the way. Pope Francis is a Jew, you know. He's named after Francis Borgia.
Yeah,
who was a
very
Jew.
Few people know that.
Yeah, he was a Francis Borgia, St. Francis Borgia. He's not named after St. Francis of Assisi. So he's a liar on top of everything else, okay? He's named after St. Francis Borgia, who was the grandson of Pope Alexander. Now, how do you become the grandson of a pope? Okay, celibacy? No, Alexander turned the Vatican into a whorehouse. Brought in prostitutes by the galore and made many children. The whole Borgia family comes out. The most ruthless, bloodthirsty poisoners and murderers in European history were his spawn. Okay? And Pope Alexander, what Pope would name himself Alexander after Alexander the Great? Alexander the Great is not about morality. It's not about mercy. Mercy is not about charity. He's about earthly power. Murder, invasion, power, like Alexander was the greatest killer the planet's ever seen. And so this pope, Jewish pope, okay? Do you understand the kind of blasphemy to call you of Alexander and sit in the Vatican and gloat it over with your prostitutes and create a dynasty that's going to murder half of Italy? I mean, Ignatius Loyola turns out, you see, there's a lot of genealogical information that in the last 10, 15 years from local villages in Spain and Italy have been put online. And scholars have access. And I was really stunned to discover actually very good academic papers which prove without a doubt that the founder of the Jesuit order, you know, Society of Jesus, Ignatius of Loyola, his grandparents were Jewish. No doubt about that at all. He was a Jew. Most of the people in his circle were Jewish. So this is the Jewish bloc inside the Vatican, which is intent on, say, reviving the Roman Empire that they will control, a global empire that they will control, and will be, you know, a Zion, a temple of Zion, or as, you know, St. John, who wrote the Revelation, called, he called the synagogue of Satan. And I know that you look around, Joe Biden, synagogue of Satan. Okay, you got that? Understand that, folks? Try to think that over. You know, now, what happened at that kangaroo court where a young fellow named Jesus of Galilee, who was accused of all these heinous crimes, like, you know, saving people, bringing people back from the dead, feeding thousands of people with a couple of fish, you know. I mean, this was a really horrible criminal, I guess they decided, right? You do good things for humanity, and you're a criminal. But you slaughter animals, you know.
No problem.
You watch other tribes be butchered. That's business for you. You should get your hero. You know, it's like King David, you know. You know, King David. The Bible says
it all loops back around. It's amazing.
Yeah, God did not want to give too much reward to David because he was such a ruthless killer. So that's why he says, I'll give the temple should be built by your son Solomon, not by you, David. You got blood on your hands. You know, you've done terrible things. So think of that, folks. You know, the Catholic Church has been infiltrated, as I've been pushing. We're seeing some very bad things coming from the Catholic part of the world. And guess what? Guess who the best friends of Beijing are, historically, for hundreds of years, which provided them Western technology, weapons technology, law books, every way to expand the power of the Manchurian, the Manchu regime. It was the Jesuits. They never saw a dictator that they didn't like. They never saw a democracy they didn't hate. Okay? And that was true in China.
All true.
The vast majority
All
of people
true.
Were Han Chinese peasants, and the Jesuits helped the Manchus keep the peasants down, you know, in the dirt, in the mud, okay? Kill them off, you know, to show them who's boss. So, and the Jesuit wiped out, you know, they say, oh, we're into astronomy. Weren't the Jesuits the ones who destroyed all of the Mayan astronomy, stole all the stones, all the tablets?
Sure they did.
Yeah, and they say, oh, we want to make contact with aliens, okay? Why? To destroy them, to steal whatever they have and then destroy them, okay? So no alien, of course, is going to respond to any message from this planet. If they have a clue, it's what the history of this planet, the history of our so-called civilization has been, with the notable exception of the United States of America, Protestant country, which is... You know, tried to show compassion, tried to include people, and they made plenty of mistakes, but, you know, this is still the freest country in the world. And folks, the slavery, the cotton slavery here was for the benefit of the British Empire, not for the benefit of America. So you got to understand what they're not telling you, you know, Black Lives Matter, because they don't read their own history. You know, they get their history from these Marxist historians who say, oh, you know, America's a hateful place, slavery and all. They never tell you it's the British and the Jews who are behind it all. You know, the English Jews.
Who ran the slave industry? Come on, everybody. You all know.
You all know.
You can look up the actual records of all the slave ship owners and see who they were. It's all there. Look, those people, and by the way, Africans, with the exception of Ghana, don't want anything to do with American blacks. They don't want them to come anywhere near there. They don't like them. I've heard this from many, many people. The American blacks go over there with an attitude, and it just doesn't work. Yeah.
Yeah, Obama would never get elected in Kenya, that's for sure.
hometown,
where he was born. You know, where he was born is not to do that. And the other question is Kamala Harris. What exactly is she? Educated in England. Her father is Jamaican, black. Her mother is from India. She's not an American citizen.
Give me
a break. She's phony. She's a British agent.
You and I are about as black as she is. I mean, this is a joke.
Yeah. And she when she was in just out of college, she was like the girlfriend, the mistress of Willie Brown, who was 3 times older than her. And who's Willie Brown? Former mayor of San Francisco, black man from Texas, tough guy. You know, I've met him before. And guess what his job is? He's a lawyer. Who does he represent? The cartel. He's the main lawyer for the cartel in the United States, in federal and local courts. Okay?
That I didn't know.
That's her lover. No. That's her lover. That's how the Democrats come from the cartel.
Eventually, when she got up the line enough, she decided to go after the money and the security and married this Jewish guy, Doug Emhoff. So she's tied in now to Israel and all the rest of it.
This was all Willie Brown's strategy. You know, you want to get into the White House, marry a Jew, okay? That's a sure way in. You know, don't you know how these guys think? You know, I mean, half of the cartel, if you read my stories about that movie, Roma, what is it? Colonial Roma?
Yeah.
You know? The financing.
Yoshi's stories are, by the way, all Yoshi's brilliant articles, and they ought to be a book, are on the left-hand side of the page under columnists. Just look for Yoichi Shimatsu. His material is absolutely fascinating. He does the research. He's ferocious about integrity and accuracy. Go ahead.
Yeah, so the financing for the cartel, the banking is all done in Mexico City, the federal district, the capital district, where Colonia Roma is located, this neighborhood. And guess what? And Netflix made a movie like this is the story of a middle class Mexican family. No, it's a story of a middle class Sephardic Jewish family from Syria. The whole area is Syrian Jews. Okay, so you get that Zionist capital of Latin America, and that's who's doing all the banking for the cartel. Is all Jewish. Okay, the cartel frontmen, you see, of course, fallen away, you know, satanic Jesuit Catholics or wherever the hell they are, you know. They're the firemen, the foot soldiers who do the killing and the dying. But the money behind it is Jewish money, you know. So this is a genocide being perpetrated, another genocide being perpetrated by the Jews once again, okay, against the Christian world. And there's not much left of the Christian world anymore, especially after COVID. You notice how they shut down all the churches. And they're doing their best, meanwhile, to brainwash all the kids to move away
from
Christian values. More compassion. Me first. You know, I win the game. You know, selfishness, every Jewish characteristic. We're going to have to give all the kids in America, we're going to have to find a way to genetically change them to have big noses. Okay? You know, and circumcisions. Okay? If this continues,
the whole rollover is really, when you look at it, it's grotesque.
Yeah.
What's being done here? It's sick. The kids having a chance.
Yeah. No,
makes me sick.
And I've argued that is a new reformation. Okay, the church has to be come back alive. There has to be revitalization, and it has to fight back. Like the Reformation, like Martin Luther, John Calvin, when you come up against this total oppression from the synagogue of Satan, you know, from a perverted Catholic church, and I'm talking about good Catholics too, need to join up with good Protestants and revive the Christian values.
Well, otherwise it's the end of white Western Christian culture. It's over. It's
over.
It's done.
It's over. It's over. There won't be any of that left. Everyone will be slaughtered or totally mixed in with something else. And speaking
Grey
other
goo.
Languages, yeah,
Grey
it's all
goo.
Over.
They're going to put them in a pot. That's why they're flooding Europe with third and fourth worlders. Same thing here. They want to dilute the white Western Christian culture every way possible.
And that's why I'm doing a lot of cultural issues now against the politically correct, where it's okay to publish books saying boys should be transsexuals, girls should be lesbian, and you can put that in grade school books now. You know, I mean,
this is
outrageous. And Laura Ingalls Wilder, Little House on the Prairie, is basically being banned because why? It advocates a nuclear family, a father who works hard,
that's right.
Mother who takes care of the house and the kids and all that. And kids who are growing up with this rugged value system, you know, and learning from their parents. That's being systematically assaulted here, and the drugs are part of that. You know, keep people dazed and confused with ever more powerful drugs. You know, Kurt Cobain, remember him? when they brought in that super powerful heroin. And then I have friends in Japan, okay? Their boys died from overdoses, you know, because they were so much into that grunge scene, you know? It wiped out a generation, and that's what's coming across the border now. Okay, that's what's flooding in. And
well,
let's
remember, and the man visibly with his hand on the doorknob opening it up is the creeper Joe Biden. But it's not him. He got to remember that Obama has been an arch communist since he was a kid. Yeah. This is all being run by international communist, Bolshevik, Zionist, globalist communism. And it's Obama. I put up a graphic about that today. And Susan Rice, okay? Look, Biden is just a flunky. He's just a flunky. That's all he is.
He's just a front man. He's just a front man. And, you know, there's a much, obviously the power is elsewhere. But didn't people learn, you know, I mean, 1989, didn't we watch the fall of the Soviet Union, the end of the Berlin Wall?
Yeah.
Didn't we see the East Germans voting with their feet to get the hell out of that phony socialism, you know, as a dictatorship? In Venezuela, aren't the majority of people fed up with that so-called socialism, which is nothing but a crude, brutal, selfish, corrupt military dictatorship? Show me socialism, it's all pie. It's not even pie in the sky. It's just false promises anymore. None of it is real, folks. You know, we saw that
it's
in '89. China flipped over and said, we're moving away from that. We're not going to follow the Soviet model. And they're becoming a different kind of enemy, something like Imperial Japan, you know, like a full-blown nationalist power. They're no longer like a really, so they're not a socialist country anymore. They're just a nationalist, military, technology, industrial, a juggernaut that's just sort of blindly intent on controlling the American market and supporting all the enemies of America right now. You know, Iranians, Venezuelans, Cubans, whatever. So I've been thinking, Donald Trump, God bless his soul for his effort. He tried isolationism for a while. Every country, do your own thing and we'll live in peace. I realize now that doesn't work. They look at that as Americans are fools to be conquered. We will, if they don't hit us, we will hit them now. You know, they're going to put their fists down. They're not going to clobber us anymore. So my thinking is going to, what America needs now is another Ronald Reagan. You know, we can't sit here. And I said, you remember the Alamo? We're not going to sit here and take the punches. It's time to start delivering some punches. It's time to get rid of the Venezuelan regime as a test case. Just wipe them out and say, just like Reagan did to Grenada. Remember that little Marxist country where they're killing, executing a lot of people, these crazy leftists. We've got to do a Grenada on Venezuela. Take them out. And I tell you, Florida will rejoice, you know. Florida will rejoice. You know, all the people there say, we told you so, right? You didn't want to listen. You
well,
tried to be
lot of,
nice
apparently,
to Castro.
There are a lot of Venezuelan expats there in Florida. They'd be leading the charge.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. We've got just a couple minutes left.
Yeah.
How big a threat is communist China? And I'm talking about militarily now. Could they project here in North America meaningful military power, or would it have to be hidden under a false flag rubric or something like that? Are you worried about them?
Yes, I certainly am, because Biden is going back to this containment policy, and he's obviously lifted a lot of tariffs. The Chinese are back in business here in the U.S., so they'll economically dominate again. All the Chinese restaurants will be open. You know, their property will be all over.
Yeah.
They'll be controlling Hollywood
again. 6 months,
watch
what happens. Yeah,
they'll be in control of the United States. And Biden will just say, well, contain them in the South China Sea. I think that doesn't work anymore. Yeah, you've got to contain them right there in Beijing with some, B-2 bombers flying fast as shit over, Tianjin and Beijing and saying, we're going to drop this on you, okay? You keep this crap up, the next one will hit and there'll be no Beijing, there'll be no Shanghai, okay? There'll be no Xi'an, Then you try to hit us, there'll be no nothing, there'll be no China left, okay? That's the only language they'll understand, and they'll be America's friend again. They'll be America's friend again. Say, yes, sir, what would you like? What can we do with you and for you?
Yoshi,
we need another Ronald Reagan. We need another Ronald Reagan to step forward and lead the counterattack.
Taiwan, real quick.
Taiwan will stand. They saw what happened in Hong Kong. They will stand. You know, Vietnam is standing. So people are standing up because they've seen the ugliness when you lie down and let them trample over you and jump on you and beat you down. They understand now you can't let that happen. That's not the way to defend democracy. You know, we sit down protest. That's not the way to defend democracy.
Philippines understand it too. Duterte, he gets it. They get it.
Yeah, that's right. Clean it up, especially drug gangs. That's what Duterte knew how to deal with these drug syndicates. You don't mess around. You don't call lawyers. You call in. You've got your troopers who know how to get the job done.
That's right. That's right.
We got to get tough, folks. We got to get tough.
It's
cowboys.
You got it. Take care. Talk to you soon. Thanks for that brilliant update on what's going on through your eyes, as always. You take care of yourself.
Very good, then. All right.
Okay. All right. Good night. Okay. Yoichi Shimatsu, one of a kind. Back tomorrow, Tuesday night already. Hope to have the pleasure of your company then, and we'll talk at that time.